We have the opportunity now to continue our fond look back at the past, the history of KVON and KVYN, as we prepare to move out. We're moving out of this old place on Foster Road and heading for fancy new studios soon over by the movie theaters. The Century Center is our new home in just a few weeks. And so we're spending a little time reminiscing, looking back, talking to people that you probably recall if you listened to the station for literally decades. You'd have to have been listening for decades. But in any event, we've had a lot of fun in the first couple of days. We're continuing that today, and I'm happy to welcome to the airwaves a voice you should recognize. Tracy Romine is joining us right now via telephone. Good morning.
Hello, Benny. It's so good to hear your voice again.
It's Barry, actually. Barry with an
A. That's right.
That's all right.
How are things? I can't believe it's wrapping up at Broadcast Park.
I know. It's wild, isn't it?
I was looking at some of the Facebook posts, and the fact that it's been there for more than 70 years is just mind-boggling.
Mm-hmm. When you and I came to the place in the past, it was, as I was describing yesterday, sort of a Spanish mission winery-looking place with all this landscaping and Tom Young put a lot of effort into making it look nice, at least on the outside. It started out as just a classic cinder block square building, you know, back in the 40s and 50s. There wasn't much to it like it became. And so I'm sure when you first arrived to come start working at KVON, KVYN, you were mightily impressed.
Well, okay, so to be honest, now, you're remembering that it was my first radio gig before I would lead an illustrious career across the California landscape and elsewhere. But I was coming in as a guy who had been living in dorm rooms and rented bedrooms and finishing college in Los Angeles. And I would have worked at a crack den, right? I would have worked anywhere. I was so happy that I had somebody that was interviewing me. I'll admit, even with that background, as I pulled in and I saw the, what do we call the garden?
Broadcast park. Yeah.
Broadcast park. Okay, the garden in the back. Let's admit, maybe it had just fallen into kind of some disrepair by the time I showed up in 92, but it did look a little weedy. I'm kind of wondering, looking for bodies in a shallow grave out there, but no, I couldn't have been more happy to go into the place. And I think I walked in through Tom Young's sliding glass back door, kind of like what everybody had in their home.
Yep.
Kind of felt like you guys were running a zoning scam or something. It kind of looked more like a home from the front. But I couldn't have been happier to be there.
And so your first radio gig, and you started then in what year here?
As best I can recall, 1992. Mm-hmm. Worked there for about 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
I've still got, like, tapes of the first newscast that I did where my voice was up about 19 octaves. I think it was like a dog whistle. And you guys were awfully accommodating. Oh, man, I think I've got one, my first actual in-the-field news report when I was in the northern town of St. Helena. Henry Mulak quickly beat me down good for that mispronunciation. Over time, we had some fun there and sharpened up the skills, allowed me to go elsewhere.
Indeed. Of course, the thing you always bring up anytime we've talked in the last 15 years was being forced to work split shifts. You love to complain about this. 20 years later, you're still complaining about it.
I will never stop complaining about it. It was my opportunity, right? Mm-hmm. If I took on the split shift, I could do a morning show and, you know, continue to do the closing of the shop. So let's put this into perspective. If you were doing this, you'd have to complain. Although I know you get up early every day.
Yeah.
I had to get there, 4:50 a.m. to catch the Paul Harvey feed. I was living in Sonoma. And a young guy, 50, right, mid-20s, I remember blazing, you know, just like, you know, many mornings, just blazing, figured it out how I could arrive, like, you know, with like 10 seconds left before I bust through the door, drop my keys, bags, grab a cassette, start that roll, and then, hello, Americans, I'm Paul Harvey. But
Yeah,
it's that was crazy.
It's so antiquated to think, you know, there was no automated way in that time period to record things that we needed for the morning show or middays, and there were several things that had to happen, and somebody had to be here to do it. It wasn't like you could just push a button on your DVR like we all do this every day now with thinking about it.
We're pretty spoiled. I was thinking, thinking back about, you know, like just in the newsroom, right? First off, you know, the internet wasn't really here.
Nope.
And so I was, but still, you were amazed because you didn't know what you were missing. But the fact that AP and ABC could send us information over phone lines and have it print out on that unbelievably cutting-edge dot matrix printer, you know, it was just like, oh, this is, you know, I'm calling people and telling them how awesome this is working in a newsroom. I still have some of those original feeds. Like, I think I was working on the weekend, Kurt Cobain's body was found in his home, and those things start flowing in. A body has been found at the home of Kurt Cobain, blah, blah, blah. I've kept a bunch of those. I think Bill Graham, the concert promoter, when his, I think he died in a helicopter crash, but just crazy, crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Now we have the internet.
Yeah. That's, and the world is so much better. Or not. The thing is, you developed your skills. This was your first radio job, and your second radio job, you made a big jump. You really did well for yourself.
Well, yeah, I mean, I learned from the great ones there. You know, I think I'd have to give you a lot of credit, Benny, for all of the, Barry, excuse me, Barry. I'll never forget all you've contributed to my life and career. I went from Napa. It was kind of the great launch pad to get over to KFBK in Sacramento. Mm-hmm. I think what happened at Napa is I started getting a lot of requests from Associated Press and other news agencies, you know, if there was some kind of event that was happening around the Napa area. I think the Polly Klass thing was one of the big points for me when she was abducted and killed by that scumbag Richard Allen Davis. I was called out, you know, at my home late at night one night, and it was that kind of stuff. There was a lot of stuff that started happening in Napa. It wasn't all horrible. Some of it was great. But that allowed me to get onto that network a lot and kind of built the name. And then KFBK took me in and went to KCBS after that and finished my radio career with a gig at CNET Radio doing technology news.
Mm-hmm. And you made a transition into the tech world, and you continue to work in that sector now, right?
Yeah, Martha and I started having kids. And I started realizing, man, radio is not only crazy hours, but living in the Silicon Valley at the time, it was kind of like, I've got to make some more loot. Mm-hmm. We started looking around after CNET Radio went bust. That was a great gig, sitting in the studio and just interviewing whoever you felt like you wanted to interview did that for 3 years, and had some buddies start calling me, offering me jobs in Silicon Valley, and I've wound up taking one at McAfee, the antivirus software company, and I'm actually still working for McAfee, relocated to Texas now. I'm product manager, so next time your McAfee scan is running, you can either bless me or curse me, depending on how you feel about your antivirus.
How do I get that window to stop popping up and asking me to renew?
You can try renewing.
You're not going to draw me into that game. I know you're. do you miss it? I mean, you know, being a product manager for McAfee is cool, but.
Let me tell you something. I mean, it's as much about making a more comfortable living. By the way, if anybody's listening and you want to buy a beautiful 5-bedroom, brand new home, you can get one in Texas for about $250K. Mm-hmm. It's crazy, just the standard of living. So that was a big driver for us moving out here, making a little more money. But, I miss the days of talking to the stars and going out and covering whatever, legislative sessions. And, yeah, radio does bring you a lot of excitement for sure.
But you don't have to get up at 4 a.m.
Right, and then go home and take a nap for 30 minutes and then come back to close the station.
It's funny when I think about that because I sort of knew it was abusive, you know, to make anybody work a split shift. If you have to do the morning show, you shouldn't have to also do the afternoon drive. That was just like the meanest thing. And there was the little devil and angel on my shoulder, you know, like the devil is saying, you know, you can get him to do it. I'm sure he's just a kid. He'll do it. Just make him do it. And then the little angel is saying, but it's so cruel. You wouldn't do this yourself. You wouldn't, you know. But, you know.
Right, right. So we clearly know which one is most dominant on the shoulders of Barry Martin. So I want all the listeners throughout Napa Valley to remember when Barry is talking to you, if it comes down, push comes to shove, you know which way he's leaning.
So Tracy Romine is our guest as part of our Aloha Broadcast Park Week. Do you have people who come to your mind, people you worked with here, people in the community, when you think about your time in Napa at KVON, that, you know, the first faces that pop into your head?
Oh, my gosh, yes. I mean, I think the thing that the split shift thing kind of opened up the door for me to not only do the news with you, which was always fantastic, and I'm not being sarcastic when I say that, but that also opened the door for me to jump over onto the KVYN side. So I got to be like a co-host, sidekick, monkey boy for some of the DJs there. I think we started it off with Gareth J. Nicholas, and I think I spent a little time with Don DeFeci, but I think the one that for me anyway, the big memories, and probably the longest lasting one, when it was the Patricia and Tracy show with Patricia Steer, now foremost authority on Flat Earth. I don't know if you saw her Amazon documentary.
I did. I talked about it here on the show.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. I mean, she's a true believer and a great representative, I think, for that cause.
But, wow.
Oh, the times Patricia and I would, we'd just take over the station sometimes, and I think it would take people barging into the studio to get us to shut up. One morning we dedicated the whole morning on this bit about how bees had nested in the attic of the studio, and we'd have some special effects that we'd play every few minutes, and we're just kind of trying to play it low key. And it built up to the last segment where we were both killed on the air. Oh, my gosh. One morning, Patricia just kept playing a single song over and over again. It was some Donald Fagen, the half of Steely Dan, just kept playing the same song. I don't even know what her motivation was. I think Tom Young eventually shut that one down. But so many great memories in both of the studios there.
Yeah, for sure. Well, at least for you. That's the point.
Unfortunately, not for the listeners.
You mentioned some of the big stories that you covered. We were really, in the conversations, we talked with Henry Mulak earlier in the week, Margie Schaefer yesterday, some other folks. And, you know, it was a thriving news organization. It's hard to, you know, put that into context in 2019. Little radio stations in a small market, small town, with as much invested in reporting the news. I mean, you don't find that everywhere.
Oh, it was a complete anomaly, and I hope that, you know, I hope KVON continues. Not to get all kind of preachy and stuff, and I'm not even in news anymore, but I think once you lose, and I'm sure one of the founding fathers said it, but, you know, you lose news coverage, that's when you start getting into real trouble. And if it's just all national news that's piped in from, you know, some line, and there's not really anybody keeping an eye on what's happening in the local community, I mean, then you're left with gadflies who attend city council meetings and everybody writes off because they're crazy. I think having those eyeballs on what's happening in the community and those live updates, you know, at the bare minimum, if you can tune in the morning and have Barry or, you know, whoever tell you that the world didn't go to hell overnight and you're, you know, things are okay, or, you know, hey, we had some crazy stuff and here's what's to avoid. It's you can't put a price tag on that.
Yeah. Well said, indeed. You have managed to create for yourself a nice life and a lovely family. You got two kids, three kids? How many kids?
I got three kids. Two of the boys that you remember, I think the oldest one likely. Two of the boys moved out. We got a 14-year-old daughter, last one in the house, and we're doing all right.
Doing all right, and your lovely wife Martha.
Yep.
But how did you get so?
Hey, is Ira C around? Is he there at the station?
I haven't seen him yet. No.
So tell him I'm going to pay him the $50 that I owe him for the tennis racket that he sold me when I left. how many years ago was that? 1996?
Yeah.
Seven? There might have been some interest accrued on that. But it bothers me that I never paid him back.
Well, you know,
I have to make square on that.
I'm sure he wouldn't have, you know, required more than, say, 15% interest on that for for those
compounded
years.
Compounded annually.
Yeah. So I'll mention that to him, and perhaps a finder's fee for me will be in the offing if I can facilitate
we'll
transaction.
Consider that for sure.
Well, it's been a real pleasure to hear your voice and have a chat. Would you like to do a quick rendition of I'm So Happy It's Wednesday before we wrap up here?
Oh, all right. Roll tape.
Here goes.
I'm so happy that it's Wednesday. I just have to sing about the fact that it's Wednesday.
Tracy Ryan's Greatest Hits, available from KTEL. Thank you for thank you for being on the show this morning.
All right, guys.
Take care. Bye-bye. It was a recording. That was a reference to a recording Tracy made for me that I would play on Fridays. The Friday song is what that little cart said, and it went something like what you just heard. Miraculously, that tune is stuck in our heads forever, I guess. All right. Out of time for this portion of the program. Our Aloha Broadcast Park continues. We have more guests coming. I'll tell you about them in a short time. Stay tuned to KVON.